John 15. We'll read together verses 1 through 7, and then verse 16. John 15, 1 through 7, and verse 16. If your neighbor doesn't have a Bible, just reach over and let's read along together. Reading from the New American Standard, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you." And he says, if you will do that, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the true vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch, and he dries up. And they gather him, and they cast him into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask of the Father, and listen to this great promise from our Lord, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, your Son Jesus taught us that the Holy Spirit would be our rabbi and our teacher. And Father, we claim that promise tonight, that the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus, who is in our presence tonight, might cause every one of us here to hear the Word of God in our souls, in our inner man, in our spirits. And that, Father, we might, having heard it, yield our lives to the authority of your Word. And may we go out of here living a life that can pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You be seated. Someone has said that the greatest thing a person can teach another person is how to pray. Now, I've thought about that statement, and I believe that's true. And if that is true, perhaps the greatest thing any preacher could teach his people would be how to pray. And I personally feel like the thing God has spent the most time in my Christian life teaching me is how to pray. And I hope that during our time together, as we have studied this matter of praying for others, praying for the lost, how to intercede in the behalf of others, it's my prayer daily for this church that we learn how to pray. Now, the key verse I want you to look at tonight is in verse 7 of John 15. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you wish, and it shall be done for you. Now, Jesus makes a tremendous promise in this verse, and he promises that he will give us exactly what we wish. It will be granted unto us. And in verse 16, he says, when we pray in his name, God will give you the desires of your heart. But verse 7 contains two great conditions for answered prayer. And before God will give you what you wish, Jesus offers to us two great conditions. And I'm going us to look at these tonight. But some of these conditions that are found here in the Scriptures have not quite been understood by many, many people. Now, there are two conditions for any prayer being answered, whether it's praying for others or praying for a need in your life. There are two great principles for any prayer to be answered. First of all, the prayer must be according to the will of God. Your prayer must be according to the will of God. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And we can have confidence that if we're praying according to the will of God, God hears that prayer And the next verse says, we will have the petitions that we ask. Now, the first principle for answered prayer is your prayer must be according to the will of God. Now, my friend, if your prayer is not according to the will of God, it does not matter how much faith you have in your prayer. You may have all kinds of faith believing God to answer that prayer, and if that prayer is not according to the will of God, your faith will not make it so. If your prayer is not according to the will of God, it does not matter how persistent you are in prayer. You may be like that man we studied about last Sunday night, who was persistent, and he kept knocking on that door and kept asking and kept seeking. But my friend, your persistence will not cause God to answer your prayer if that prayer is not according to the will of God. So the first principle of answered prayer is that we be praying according to God's will. The second great principle for answered prayer, and this is the one that I want us to dwell upon tonight, is that the prayer, the person doing the praying, must be according to the will of God. The person offering the prayer must be according to the will of God. You see, the Bible teaches it's the life that prays. And the life you live determines the quality of your prayer life and the quantity of your prayer life and the results of your prayer life. We offer up our prayers to God from the platform of our relationship to God. It is the life that prays. You cannot divorce your prayer life from your spiritual life. You cannot separate your prayers for others from your own personal relationship with God. Is it true in your life that the life that has little fellowship with God is a life that prays little? I've discovered that my prayer life stimulates my fellowship with God, and secondly, it comes out of my fellowship with God. And you cannot separate your praying from your living. It's the life that prays. Now, Jesus taught us this in several passages of Scripture. We don't have time to look at all of them, but I want you to see a spiritual principle tonight that never changes. Here is an unchanging spiritual principle. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us a spiritual principle. He says in verses 23 and 24, if therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar, and go your way, and first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Now, what is the spiritual principle? Jesus said, the giver is more important to God than the gift. If you come to the place to give your money in an offering plate, and at that moment the Holy Spirit reminds you that somebody has a difference with you. Now, Jesus didn't say that you have a difference with your brother. He says, if there's somebody who's uptight with you, whether you're uptight with him or not, he says, you go and you get that right. Now, what is the spiritual principle? God is more interested in your life, your relationship to him and your relationship to others, than he is in the offering that you bring. Isn't that the principle? The same thing applies to worship. It does not matter how right and how proper your worship experience is or your ritual. The Bible teaches once again that God is much more interested in the worshiper than he is in the worship. And the same thing applies to prayer. It is the life that prays. We pray from the platform of our life. It's Psalm 66:18 that says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me when I what? When I pray. And that little word regard is a very interesting word. It means if I have sympathy towards sin, if there's an affinity, if there's a kindness, if there is a love in my heart towards sin, if I regard sin, if I hold on to sin, the Bible says God pays no attention to my prayer. You see, we pray from the platform of our living. I read over in 1 John chapter 3, I believe it's verses 20 and 21. Well, the Bible says, if our heart condemns us, it's because God knows what's in us. But if our heart condemns us not, then we can have confidence that anything we ask, He hears our prayers. Does your heart ever condemn you when you pray? Does your heart ever condemn you? Because you see, what 1 John 3, 20 and 21 is saying is simply this, that many times, Christian, you would come to the place of prayer, and just as you would start to pray, Satan himself knows your life. He knows your heart. And at that moment, as you start to pray, maybe you're praying for a lost friend, maybe you're interceding for somebody else, and Satan comes, and you know what he does? He condemns your heart. He'll say to you, he'll accuse you, and he says, you have no right to come to God in prayer, praying for somebody else to get their sins forgiven, when you've got that sin in your life. And he'll bring that sin to your remembrance. And Satan will accuse you, and he'll show you the sin in your life. And what happens? Your heart condemns you. And you begin to feel guilty, and you feel unworthy that you don't have the right to pray. My friend, the Bible says that every Christian one day will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that's a judgment of reward. It's not a judgment of condemnation. It's a judgment of commendation. I want to hear the Lord Jesus say about Barry Wood, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you want Him to say that about you? And you know, the thought has often occurred to me, what were to happen if I were to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord Jesus were to say to me, would have said, Barry, there was so much I wanted to do through you. There were so many people I wanted to bless through you. So many lost people that I wanted to save through you. There were so many promises I wanted to give you in answer to prayer. But Barry, you didn't pray. You didn't pray for the lost. You didn't claim those blessings. You did not intercede. And the reason you didn't was because your heart condemned you. And at that moment, God might show me one thing in my life, one sin in my life. And you know, the interesting thing is that down here on earth, right now, that one thing in your life that keeps you from praying, it may not seem very big right now. It may seem like a small, insignificant thing. But my friend, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord Jesus tells you what He wanted to do through you in answer to your prayers, at that moment, that one thing will look so big. And your heart will condemn you, and you'll want to cry out and say, why did I let that little thing keep me from being a prayer warrior, an intercessor? Why did I let that keep me from praying? You see, it's the life that prays. And I don't want there to be anything in my life that causes me to forfeit my power in prayer. Do you? James 5:16 says, it's the fervent prayer of what kind of a man? A righteous man. That availeth much. We pray and offer our petitions from the platform of a godly, holy life. Now, what kind of a life is it that can pray? What kind of a life must you live to be on praying ground? Let's look at verse 7 and see what kind of a life can pray. Jesus says, first of all, before you can claim this great promise, ask anything in my name and I'll give it to you. Whatever you shall ask, it shall be done for you. Before that tremendous promise can be proven in your life, he says, first of all, condition number one, he that abideth in me. He says, if ye abide in me, my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will. Now, what does Jesus mean by abiding in him? Here in John 15, our Lord uses this beautiful picture of a vine and its branches yielding fruit. And he takes the first five or six verses to talk about the fact that he is the vine and we are the branches, and when we abide in him, we bring forth much fruit. And Jesus is using the figure of a vineyard and the relationship of the branch to the vine. Condition number one, if you want to live a life that can pray, you must be abiding in him. Now, what does that mean? Well, I think it means at least two things. It means, first of all, I must acknowledge to God that my only purpose in life is to bear fruit. Before you can live a life that can pray, you must acknowledge to God that your only purpose for existence as a Christian is to bear fruit. You see, Jesus says the person that is on praying ground, the man that can be an intercessor, a man that can pray for the lost and see the lost saved, a man that can pray for blessings and for healing and for ministry for others, he is a man who is living a branch kind of a life. Are you living a branch kind of life? Jesus says, if you will be to me what a branch is to a vine, then you can ask anything you will and it shall be done unto you. Are you living a branch kind of life? What does a branch do? Well, you see, a branch is only good for one thing, and that's to bear fruit. I don't know whether you've thought about it or not, but the wood of the vine and of the branch is not good for anything except bearing fruit. It's too soft to make furniture, too soft to make a table. You cannot even burn, you cannot even heat your home with it. In fact, rabbinical law strictly forbids to use the wood of a vine in the temple fire for sacrifices. The wood of the vine and the branch is good for nothing except what? Bearing fruit. And what Jesus is saying is this, the life that can pray is a life that is willing to be to me what a branch is to a vine. Fruit bearing. And I've seen this happen over and over again. As God has begun to deal in people's lives, we need to come to understand that to abide in Jesus simply means that I must be willing to live a selfless life, a life so yielded to Christ, so yielded to God, that I am saying, Lord, the only thing in life that is worth living for is for You to put fruit on my life. You know what Jesus is really saying? He is saying that to abide in Him simply means, Christian, if you're not bearing fruit, you're good for nothing. Now, it seems like I've met some church members like that. Have you ever met a good-for-nothing church member? But Jesus says to us in these earlier verses that the vine or the branch that does not bear fruit is good for nothing and must be cast off into the fire. And the kind of person that can pray and have his prayers answered and have power in prayer is the man or the woman, the boy or girl that says, Lord, I recognize that my only purpose in life is to be a fruit bearer. And I want you to notice something about fruit. What is this fruit that we bear? Now, I think many times we want to confine this fruit to evangelism, winning lost people. But my friend, the fruit is much broader than that. If I were to define fruit, I would say that fruit is the outward expression of the inward nature of a thing, wouldn't you? Now, if I see a peach tree and I see peaches on a tree, what is a peach? A peach is an outward... I know what peach is. I know what peach are. A peach is merely the outward expression of the nature of a peach tree. When I see roses on a bush, that rose is an outward expression of the root and the nature of that rose bush. You recognize a tree by its fruit. Now, I don't know much about trees. I'm a city boy. I don't know much about botany and stuff like that. But I just know that if I see walnuts hanging on a tree, I assume it's a walnut tree. If I see pecans hanging on a tree over here, I assume it's a pecan tree. If I see watermelons hanging on a tree over here, I assume it's a watermelon tree. You tell a tree by its fruit. Do you know how to tell a Christian from a non-Christian? Do you know how to tell a lost church member from a saved church member? Do you know how to tell a possessor from a professor? You just look at the fruit hanging on his life. And you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love. And you know who God is? Love. Do you know who the Son of God is? Jesus. What is the fruit of the Spirit? It's just Jesus hanging all over your life. Hallelujah. That's what it is. And here's what Jesus says. If you want to live a life that can pray, you come to the place in your life where you say, Lord God, the only purpose I have in life is for people to see You in me. Amen? That's the life that can pray. And secondly, I think Jesus meant when He said, abide in Me, I think it means to make yourself totally available to God. You know, a branch doesn't do anything but just stay where it was put. Have you ever noticed that the branch doesn't move around? I mean, the branch stays right where the husbandman grafted it in. And the only thing the branch has to do is stay where it was put. It has to be available to the vine for the life of the vine to flow through it. And if you want to live a life that can pray, listen, all this is a profound truth, not because I said it, but because Jesus taught it. A life that can pray is a life that says, Lord, I recognize my only purpose is to bear fruit, that others might see Jesus in me, that I might be an instrument that Jesus can pray through, live through, witness through. But Father, I want to make myself totally available to God for the purpose of bearing fruit. I'm going to abide. I'm going to stay where I was put. I'm available to God. Now, you know, a lot of us don't understand that. Because you see, the word abide simply means unconditional availability. Unconditional availability. From time to time, I've had to learn this the hard way. I've had those weeks and those days where I didn't feel like I worked enough for Jesus. I've had those weeks where it seemed like I didn't pray enough and I didn't witness enough and I didn't read my Bible enough. And at the end of that week, I look back on that week and I didn't feel like I did enough for Jesus. A preacher friend of mine, Ron Dunn, illustrates it beautifully. Like nobody can give illustrations like my preacher friend from Texas. All of God's great preachers, I guess, come from Texas. But Ron said the Lord taught him about this availability thing. He said one day he got up and he noticed as he walked by the kitchen, there was a water faucet in the kitchen. And he went over to that water faucet and he said, "Hi, water faucet." He said, "You look kind of glum and down at the faucet today." And the water faucet had a very sad look. And the water faucet said to me, he says, "Well, the reason I'm so sad, it says, you haven't turned me on all day. And all day long I've wanted to do something for you. I've wanted to wet your thirst. I've wanted you to use me to wash your hands. I've wanted you to use me to wash the dishes. And all day long, said, you've passed me by, and not one time have you turned me on. Two or three times today, I've tried to turn myself on, and I tried real hard, and I squeezed out a few drops on my own." Ron says, "I stopped that water faucet, and I said, you stupid water faucet. I knew where you were. And I knew that you were available to me, and that any time I wanted to, all I had to do was to turn you on. And I knew that you would have served me and ministered to me. But you run around and turn yourself on, all you'll do is just wet up the place and make a mess anyhow." And Ron said, "I learned a great lesson there. And this is a tremendous lesson. What does it mean to abide in Christ where prayer is concerned? Jesus said, if you want your prayers answered, you come to the place in your life, you say, Lord, my sole purpose for existence is to bear fruit, and I make myself unconditionally available for that purpose. Lord, I'm available." You know, for the last 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, I haven't borne much fruit in terms of people being saved. It's been an amazement thing to me. I'm not any more spiritual than I was 2 or 3 weeks ago, but the last 10 days have been incredible. God's just been bearing witness and fruit through my life. The last week seemed like every day goes by. I've been ministering to somebody. People have been saved. Lives have been reclaimed. And I look back and you know what I just really believe has happened? I've made myself available to the Lord all day long. And God has just said, when I want to turn you on, Barry Wood, I'll turn you on. And when I want to use you, I'll use you. Are you unconditionally available? Because if you're not, my friend, you're never going to live a life that can pray. Second condition. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. And my words abide in you. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, again, I think it means two things. A life that can pray is a life in which the Word of God controls you. When Jesus said, if my words abide in you, He meant that His words are to control the intercessor. The life that can pray is a life that is controlled by the Word of God. But see that little word, abide? The word abide means, in the Greek, to permanently dwell, to take up permanent residence. And Jesus said, the life that can pray is a life in which the Word of God has taken up permanent residence in his or her heart. Has the Word of God taken up permanent residence in your heart? Over in the book of Hosea, God said to the prophet Isaiah, He said, you have treated my words as a stranger. God talking about how the Jews had turned their backs upon the teachings of the Word of God and gone after pagan idols. And He says, you've treated my words as a stranger. You see, in Israel, a stranger was welcome in Israel. Any non-Jew was welcome in Israel, and he was welcome to live there, but he had no voting rights. He had no say-so in government. He had no authority over policy and public life. And God says to Hosea, that's the way you've treated me. My words are living in the land, but my words have no authority. They have no control. You've treated me like a stranger. And what Jesus says is this, the life that can pray is a life that takes the words of Christ, takes the Word of God, and says, Lord, I want your Word to come and make a home, a permanent home in my heart. You know what some of you have done? You've treated your heart like a hotel rather than a home. And you've said to God, Lord, I invite your Word to come into my hotel. And checkout time is 12 noon on Sunday morning. And then you go the rest of the week with no concept of obeying the Word of God or submission to the Word of God. And 6 days a week, you treat the Word of God as a stranger. And my friend, I tell you, you'll never be on praying ground that way. Jesus said, my words must control your heart. Now that's why Jesus said in 1 John chapter 3, about our heart condemning us, he says in verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You want your prayers to be answered? There's a little forgotten word in evangelical theology. And what is that word? Obedience. You remember the message we shared on Jesus becoming real? Jesus said in John 14 that the man who will obey my commandments, who will obey me, I'll make myself real to him. The same thing is true where prayer is concerned. And we come to the place in our lives when we're willing to take the Word of God to our heart and we're willing to let it take a permanent residence and control us, to be controlled by the Word of God. It's at that point that our prayers start being answered. Secondly, Jesus said His words would cleanse us. His words would cleanse us. Look over in these first verses of John 15. Jesus talks about being pruned by the Holy Spirit and letting God prune you. And He says this, that the husbandman takes the branch and he prunes away a branch that will not bear fruit. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. The word prune means to cleanse. He cleanses it. Are you being cleansed by the Word of God? Look at verse 3. You are already clean because of the Word that I have spoken to you. Listen. 103 people signed up last Sunday night and said, Barry, I want to pray 1 hour next Saturday. I want to be an intercessor. I want to pray for the lost. I want to pray for my church. I want to pray for the missionaries. I want to pray for the sick. All right? Listen. Jesus is saying, if you want your prayers to be answered, if you want to pray and enter the ministry of intercession, are you willing tonight for some things to be clipped out of your life? Are you willing tonight for God, through the Holy Spirit, to show you some things in your life that need to be cut away, that need to be pruned, that need to be cut out? Because Jesus said there are a lot of branches that don't bear fruit, and what the husbandman does when he comes, what does he do to them? Cuts them off. He cuts them off. But others, he prunes them, not cuts them off, but he cuts away the excess things that rob the vine of its vitality and of its strength. Now, I'm convinced there are just thousands of people in our churches that are just like branches that bear no fruit, and all they're doing is taking up space. But Jesus says the Christian that can pray is one who is willing to let my word control him and what? Cleanse him. He says, Lord, you clip out of my life, you cut out of my life anything that is a deterrent and a hindrance to prayer. Now, by the way, any vine dresser knows that if you want more fruit, you don't put on more branches. But what you do is you cut away the unhealthy excess things from the branches you've got so that the branches you've got are healthier. Any vine dresser knows that. But you know what's wrong with a lot of folks today? They name the name of Christ. You've got too much wood in your life. Too much excess in your life. And by the way, it's not always bad. It's not always just sin. When the Holy Spirit finds a person who wants to pray and says, Lord, make of me an intercessor. I want to be a man to stand in the gap. I want to be like a Moses interceding for my church and for my staff and for the missionaries and for my church and for my lost friends. When God finds a person like that, many times He will prune out of your life not bad things, but things that are good things, that are nothing intrinsically wrong with them. You know what God may prune out of your life? Too much time watching television. There are some of you that don't pray the way you ought simply because you spend too many time standing in front of the boob tube. I think it's Van Pavner said that if evolution is true, if Americans keep watching as much TV as they're watching, one of these days we're going to have brains the size of a pea and eyes the size of saucers. But you know, it just may be true that God needs to prune some good things out of your life so that you can have time to pray. I've had a lot of people say, Barry, I'd love to pray, I just don't have time to pray. So if you're going to live a life that can pray, you've got to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be controlled by Your Word. I want to be available to You for bearing fruit. And I want You to cut out of my life anything that's keeping me from praying. By the way, when the Lord prunes, it's not always the way we want it to happen. I can remember when I was pastor of the First Baptist Church of Beverly Hills, I had some people in the church that didn't want to do things the way I wanted to do them. And I was praying for revival in our church. We had some men that kind of fought me on some of the ministries we were involved in, working with the street people. And I read John 15, and boy, I really fastened in there on that verse about taking away and pruning. So I just thought the way God was going to prune our church, He was going to take away this deacon over here, and He was going to take away this old boy over here, the old so-and-so. And I was praying, Lord, Lord, You just take him out of this church. You do whatever You got to do so I can get on with the job. And you know what happened to me? No. The Lord pruned me. My problem wasn't no so-and-so. The things in my life. The Lord wanted to work on me so that He could work through the life of the church. And I want to say this. Listen, friend. If you want to live a life that can pray, notice Jesus said it's the Father who does the pruning. You don't prune yourself. You don't go out and say, now, Lord, I'm going to be a better Christian so I can pray. And I'm going to stop this filthy habit because this is quenching my prayer life. And I'm going to stop this and I'm going to stop that. You don't prune yourself, friend. Listen, if you will make yourself available, God will make you acceptable. Amen? He just wants you to be a branch. You make yourself available to the vine. You make yourself available to the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus is Lord of your life, when you're totally available, willing to be controlled by His Word, willing to be obedient, willing to be cleansed and say, Lord, whatever it takes, to make me an instrument of Thy peace, whatever it takes to make me an intercessor. Lord, You do it. Whatever it takes. And then it's the Father's job to do the pruning. Now let me ask you tonight, are you willing to submit yourself to the husbandman? Are you willing to take the position of a branch and say, Lord, I realize my sole existence as a Christian, the sole purpose for my salvation, is to be an instrument through which Jesus can live. Lord, I'm unconditionally available. And then, Father, I want Your Word to create in me a home. I want Your Word to have a home in my heart. I want You to cleanse me. Create in me the kind of life that can pray. And I want to tell you something. When God finds a Christian brother or sister who hungers to claim the promise, then John 15, 7 and 16 will become true in your life. He says, Ben, you ask whatever you wish. Now notice, when you're controlled by His Word, you'll pray according to the will of God. Isn't that right? And then as you're praying according to the will of God, living a life that can pray, abiding in the vine, ask what you wish, and it shall be done. Hallelujah. I believe that. My soul, what God would do through this fantastic fellowship with you and you and you and you and you, along with myself and others of the staff, would come to the place and say, Lord, I want to be living through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, a life that can pray. When God finds people like that, He opens up the windows of heaven and He bankrupts heaven to answer our prayer. Let's bow for prayer right now. I wonder in the quietness of this moment, with our hearts bowed before the Lord, there's some of you here that God has been dealing with you. There are a number of us in this church, hundreds of people really, who are wanting to become prayer warriors. It's our prayer that eventually, as God would draw people out of this fellowship, that we would pray 24 hours around the clock continually, day by day, week by week, month by month. That would take 168 people a week. I wonder if there are 168 people here tonight that are abiding in Him, abiding in His Word. I wonder if God tonight could find that many people who could intercede, who could pray, and have their prayers answered. Maybe God wants you to enter a prayer ministry in your home, in your office, in your school. Jesus tonight is trying to get you to unconditionally surrender, to be available, to bear fruit. And my friend, you bear fruit, you don't produce it. Jesus will produce it. You'll abide.